Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and I find it such a privilege to be able to talk to you every day. I find it such a privilege, a gift from God, to be able to share with you what I've prayed through, what I've thought about, what I've meditated upon, and I hope it's helpful to you. But you too can grow. You too can read the Word. You too can apply it to your own life. Learn from what you can from this program, but also take time to take the Word itself, to ponder it, and to say, Lord, teach me through your Word. Help me to apply this to my circumstances. Teach me how to see what you're asking of me, and then give me the courage to decide for the right things. You do that simply day after day, 15 minutes, a half hour a day. You can find it. You can always find time for the things you really want. You giving God time every day, listening to him. This program can be part of it, but it can't be all of it. You need to engage the Lord yourself through his word. He will give you wisdom and understanding, but oftentimes it's many months, even years, of just faithfully coming before him, faithfully reading his word, faithfully trying to follow it in your daily life. And when he deems it right, he will reveal himself more and more to you through his word. First reading for today is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man, sin entered the world. It's true, isn't it? Through one man, sin entered the world. And through sin, death. And thus, death came to all men inasmuch as all sin. If by that one person's transgression many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? For if by the transgression of the one, death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? Death came into the world because of the transgression, because of disobedience. But how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification that came to us through Christ, how much more will we have life? It's true. In conclusion, Paul says, just as through one transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Where sin increased, grace overflowed all the more. God's grace, God's life is greater than our sin if we repent. We can overcome it. We can be freed of the effects of it. But it's putting ourselves totally in the hands of God and drawing our strength from him, from his life, from his death, from his resurrection. And he will strengthen us. Where sin increased, grace overflowed all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through justification for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's God who sets us free. It's God who gives us life. Receive it. Receive it. Psalm 40, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. That's a way of receiving the grace. As the psalmist did, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I try as frequently as I can, even daily it should be, to say to the Lord, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. as I'm going from one job to another, as I'm driving the car, as I'm coming to prayer, as I'm reading, as I'm in conversation, as I'm having fun with others, as I'm watching a movie with some people. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Make that a refrain in your heart, because it's the heart of Jesus, and the Father so loves to hear the voice of his Son in you, and he acknowledges you. You're not obliterated, but you're found in his Son. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. May that be your prayer and mine. And the gospel for today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or the third watch," that was, you know, late at night, early morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, "and should he come in the second or the third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." Brothers and sisters, you know and I know people don't like to talk about death, but we need to pay attention to this. Gird your loins, light your lamps, be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Neither you nor I know the day or the hour when the Lord will come for each of us. And when it comes, we need to be ready. How ready are you? How ready am I? You know, it's very good weekly, in some way, in your own morning prayer. It's very good to take an inventory. It doesn't have to be an inventory of your entire life. But look over the last week in your daily prayer. Look over the previous week. Just say, how did I do? Or at the end of the week, look over the previous 5 or 6 days. How am I doing? Pay attention. I don't mean scrupulously, like having a little notebook that you check off when you did this and when you didn't do this. I'm not talking about that. Don't get sidetracked. This is about love. It really is about love. When I love somebody, I want to please them with all my heart. I just do. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes there are more important things that I have to take care of, or more important situations that I have to deal with, that I can't do for a friend or for someone I love what I would like to do. But I am doing it as often as I can. And that's what God wants of us, going back to God and saying, "God, thank you for being so good to me today. Thank you for being good to me in these circumstances. Please forgive me for failing to speak up for you. Please forgive me for being ashamed of the gospel in this situation or that situation. Give me courage, give me wisdom, give me help." Just periodically stopping and saying those kinds of things to God. Don't get caught up in some kind of financial record book, you know, keeping count of what you did and what you didn't do. Don't do that. That's scrupulosity. It leads to scrupulosity and gets you into big trouble. Don't do that. Talking about a relationship. I don't list my friends and say, "I talked to them today, I did this for them today." You don't do that. That makes a relationship very sterile. But it is good in your own heart. It is very good to stop, or as part of your morning prayer, or part of your night prayer before you go to bed. How did I do today? And only take one or two areas. Don't try to take your whole life and everything. Take one or two areas. Maybe it's your speech that needs to change or to grow, to be corrected. Maybe it's your thought life, which it often is for a lot of us. Maybe it's because of what you see or watch that you need to put a guard on your eyes. Maybe it's your appetite for food that gets out of control.
Take a look at it.
Lord, I want to live for you. I want to glorify you in my body, my mind, my spirit, my soul, my heart. I want to glorify you. Help me today. And don't take all those things at once. Take one of them. Because as you overcome it, or at least as you get a habit or a pattern where you're thinking more of how my thoughts, my words, my actions are glorifying him, the more you're going to cooperate, because your life is being opened to grace. And you find yourself, what I do is when I'm in trouble, I just say, Jesus, he knows exactly what I need. All I have to do is say his name and stop for a moment. That's all I have to do. And the grace to do the right thing comes to my mind and my heart. That's all I have to do. Brothers and sisters, it isn't a matter of record keeping. It isn't like keeping a financial book of debit and credit. It's not that. It's just a way of taking a look at your day and saying, these things always get me into trouble. And then take one of them. Start trimming it down. Even if you get it down from 10 times a day to 8 times a day, that's better. Just keep doing it and stay with one thing. God so loves you. And he wants to dwell within you more and more so that those who see you and talk to you and relate to you find him. That's what he wants. And so we just have to take off the things that hold us down, the things that nail us to the floor, so to speak, little by little, take them out of our lives. Sometimes they're thumbtacks and sometimes they're nails. One by one, we begin to remove them so that eventually we run in the way of God's grace. We run in his presence. We take delight in who he is and what he wants to give us. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and he will proceed to wait on them. This is what awaits us, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Seeing our attempts, seeing our desire, seeing even in the midst of our stumbles, our desire to follow after him, will one day put on an apron and serve you. It's true. Can we not give him everything he asks for because of what awaits us? Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or the third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. If God comes to us at the time we least expect it, blessed are those servants, because we will be ready. Even if we didn't have time, so to speak, to know that our death was imminent, but we lived our life in such a way that we could render an account to him, then it says that he will come and he will wait on them himself. And the scripture says, blessed are those servants who are ready. May you and I be ready to meet him. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.